You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Charlie Polillo, Joel Blank, and Nick Sciarra.
Well, we're back, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour program. And on a Thursday, that means it's time for Phil Steele. Phil Steele has got to be giddy with the Big Ten coming back. I don't know if he's going to have to redo some of his major work with his big-time publication, but he has to be giddy that at least four of the Power Five, and you know, whatever the Big Ten does, the Pac-10 will follow, but the Big Ten football is back, which means we're getting closer to normal with college football.
Well, he PDF'd all the reworked schedules for all the other conferences, so he'll happily be doing it for the Big Ten when they announce their reworked schedule by the end of the week. Phil, Charlie, and Joel here in Houston, and, well, Merry Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, and you hit it right on the head. Happily redoing those schedules and get them ready for printing off and pasting in the magazine this year. And boy, isn't it good? You know, 4 weeks ago we were wondering, is there really going to be a football season? And now we got we're going to be back to a lot of the teams playing.
Well, we do have one more week to grind through with a schedule of limited interest other than the hardcores or those with a fiduciary interest. I do want to peek back to last Saturday. I mean, Texas played UTEP, so a good taking out the trash, taking care of business game. But otherwise, for the Big 12, what do you make of that in terms of speaking of the conference's relative power this season?
You know, how about you look at the two teams that lost, Iowa State and Kansas State, and both teams very inexperienced on the offensive line coming into the game. Now, Iowa State, I still hold out hope for her. The game wasn't as bad as the final score would indicate. They usually get off to a slow start on the air. I think Iowa State will be just fine. And for Kansas State, it looked like it was going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year, as it was. But I think the three power teams at the top of the Big 12, Texas, Oklahoma, and, of course, Oklahoma State, which has really got a lot coming back this year, will represent the conference well, but the rest of the conference looks like a crapshoot.
One other emphasis on crap, perhaps. One other Big 12 loser. Look, I mean, I'm sure Les Miles went in eyes wide open to the kind of challenge you face at Kansas. A couple things, Phil. One, what kind of shot do you to give Miles, even if the bottom half of the conference is on the soft side, to build something competent there with the Jayhawks? And secondly, I know it went awry at the end, but the job Mark Mangino did there, at least in the short term, that was like Gary Barnett at Northwestern or what Bill Snyder did for the long haul at Kansas State. Kansas was, what, 12-1 and got to number two in the country, and now they're back to just being a stink bomb every year, going through head coaches every couple of years.
Yeah, and in Mark Mangino's last 5 years, he had a grand total of one losing season, and in that season they were 5-7. You touched about the 12-1 Orange Bowl year, and then Turner Gill, Charlie Weiss, David Beattie, Les Miles, all struggling. I don't think Kansas is going to have a very good year this year. I thought Coastal Carolina was going to beat them last week, and they did. They're an inexperienced squad, breaking in a new quarterback, and I think for Les Miles it's going to be at least 3 years till he gets a semblance of a good team. I'd be surprised if Kansas wins a game in the Big 12 this year.
It's 2 years in a row they lost to Coastal Carolina. And lastly, in the Big 12, year two for Matt Wells, it beats losing, but I mean holding off a two-point conversion to avoid overtime against Houston Baptist?
Yeah, not the way you wanted that game to end at the end of it. Now, it was a game Texas Tech was up big, and then Houston Baptist came back on it. But a little concerned with the defense. They gave up 600 yards in that one. The offense looked good. Alan Bowman's going to stay healthy. I think you'll see a better Texas Tech performance as the season goes on. I think that when you look at the bottom of the Big 12 this year, the bottom five teams that I have, I think Texas Tech and West Virginia are the top of those bottom five teams.
Phil, as we look at the Big 10, and I know everybody's giddy, and Ohio State being in the mix as a legitimate national championship contender is all good things, but when you look at the layout, and it's going to be no bye weeks, 8 straight weeks, and then when you look at the medical factor and the caveats they put in about testing, and if a team tests more than 5%, or they're surrounding, and they didn't really define who that means, but they're surrounding people around it, 7.5%, they have to sit out for a minimum, I think, 7 to 14 days. You could have an uneven finish to the Big Ten schedule when you're trying to get into the Big Ten championship game and otherwise, because some teams may not finish what they started or have the equal amount of games at the end of it. How big of a factor or concern is that?
I think it's going to be a huge factor. You know, looking at the things that they laid out and the, you know, 21 days for this and 7 days for that. And as you touched on, you know, just the populated area around them. And these are positive tests we're talking about, which means you could be asymptomatic and still have a positive test. I think the Big Ten's going to have a really tough time getting all their teams through eight games, let alone the top team. So I think we're going to have some problems with the Big Ten play this year, schedule-wise, with all those things they've outlined.
Who else in your mind factors in? I mentioned Ohio State because they are the cream of the crop seemingly every year. I'm partial to the Badgers, but I know that a lot of people had the Badgers up there this year, and we know that Harbaugh and Michigan always try to make noise but somehow peter out before they get close. Are there, other than the usual suspects, are there teams you're watching in the Big Ten other than Ohio State and the teams that I mentioned in terms of they could be a factor?
Yeah, I think the second best team in the Big Ten this year is Penn State. And when I look at Penn State, you know, going through the team with Coach Franklin, each of his 7 years that he's been there, I can tell you he's done a remarkable job. You go back to that first year, they barely filled out a one deep in the lineup. This year, going through the team with them, they basically go three deep at every single position. And last year, they were a young team. They may have arrived a little bit early. They got to 10-0 and number 8 in the country. This year, they've got practically everybody back. The positions are loaded. Freiermuth, their tight end, who's probably the best tight end in the country, had opted out, but, you know, he's going to return. I think when you look at Penn State, they get Ohio State at home. They're probably the biggest threat. I do think Wisconsin wins the West. And remember, last year, Wisconsin actually led the Big Ten title game against Ohio State at the half by a couple of scores, ended up coming up short. So I think those three are your top teams in the Big Ten this year.
Do you anticipate, as I mentioned, and I kid a little bit about the fact that everything the Big Ten's done, the Pac-12 has somehow followed, but now it looks like the governors of Oregon and California are on board to allow the teams in the Pac-12, primarily in Oregon and California, to play. Do you anticipate that it won't be long before the Pac-12 has an announcement and everybody's back on board?
Well, the way they've been running things over there, you wonder what's going to happen. And if they come back and they say, well, we'll start sometime in November, then I don't think anybody's going to really pay attention to the season. You really have to come back, start in October, have a shot at playing in the playoff game to really have an impact this year. So they're going to have to get their feet moving a little bit quicker right now. I was worried about the Big Ten being able to get there before the time ran out on them, and they just barely got in at the last second.
Phil, to a handful of games this Saturday, I want to give a doff of the cap or helmet maybe to Louisiana, Lafayette with the win at Iowa State, and the fact that after the preseason polls, no Big Ten or Pac-12 teams included in the top 25 polls this week. But hey, Louisiana's number 19 in the country playing at Georgia State. I would think the Raging Cajuns stay unbeaten.
Yeah, they should be able to get the win, but be careful about Georgia State here. Now, Georgia State lost their quarterback. They lost their top two running backs from last year, and I had a lot of concerns about the running back position. But going over the team with Coach Elliott this year, he said, Phil, if either of the two backups would have started and got the bulk of the carries like Trey Barnett did last year, they would have had the same success, and he likes his new quarterback as well. And teams that get ranked for the first time in a long time, and I think it's been 43 years for Louisiana or Louisiana Lafayette or whatever you want to call these guys, they usually struggle that first week that they've been ranked. And so I would say Louisiana's going to struggle a little bit with their trip to Georgia State. Georgia State will give them a game, but I think in the long run, at the end of the game, Louisiana pulls out the win. But they're laying 17, so I would take the points there.
Hurricanes at Louisville. It's the national game on ABC Saturday night. Is that the best game of the weekend?
Absolutely. And how about the quarterbacks we're going to get to watch? You guys are well familiar with Derek King and all the things he did at Houston, 50 touchdowns 2 years ago. He needs to work on his passing a little bit, miss some long passes, but I think you'll see him improve as the season goes on. And with Louisville, they've got Mikael Cunningham, a guy who's a dangerous runner and passer as well. So we've got two dynamic guys there. You've got two good running backs with Cameron Harris and Javian Hawkins, and the receiving quarters look pretty good. I think Miami's got the edge on defense, but this one I believe is going to come down to the last possession and probably be decided by a late score. I'm going to side a little bit with the underdog Miami to pull this one out because they do have the better defense.
Phil, a dud of a debut for Mike Norvell in Florida State, losing to Georgia Tech. But the Yellow Jackets, by the numbers, are not supposed to beat Central Florida this week. Golden Knights ranked 14th in the country.
And in the forecast section of the magazine, I talked about Georgia Tech, and I said, this team is two touchdowns better than they were last year. Last year was a horrible situation for Collins to step into, but going over the team with Coach Collins this year, you could tell they were vastly improved at every position. It showed in the opener. There was nothing fluky there. They had a 438-307 yard edge. Remember, they had two field goals and an extra point blocked in that game, or they probably could have won by more than 16-13. But this UCF team is something to watch this year. Last year, they lost three games, but their losses were by 1, 3, and 3 points. And this year's squad is so much more experienced than they were last year. They've got a veteran quarterback. Their defense is loaded. They had 10 players opt out, but I'm not concerned about that because only three of them were starters, and the positions that they opted out at, they're very strong at. The defensive back, for example, they had five guys on the Senior Bowl watch list. Well, now they have four on the Senior Bowl watch list. That's still a pretty good secondary. And UCF knows they need to beat the Power 5 teams when they play them. Remember what they did to Stanford last year? Remember what they did to Pitt 2 years ago? So I actually like UCF to go into Atlanta, come out of there with a win by more than the touchdown in this one.
Cougars were supposed to play Memphis. Memphis with a ton of positive tests. They back out somehow, some way. Dana Hogerson gets with Dave Aranda, and they work out this deal with the Cougars and Baylor. Not so much just for this game, but we talked last week about the Longhorns and the Aggies. How do you see Dana Hogerson, the Cougars, this year and then going forward as he tries to get that program back on track?
I think Dana Holgerson's going to have a really good year this year. Houston makes my most improved list. It'll be one of the most improved teams in the country. And this is really, you know, all off season I've talked about it. So going over the teams with the head coaches, when I'm talking to an experienced head coach, they said, you know what, Phil, we had our spring practice, or we didn't have spring practice, but we had our off-season conditioning, we were ready for the season. You know, put the ball in the field, we'll be ready to go. Talking to first-year head coaches like Coach Aranda, those guys are scrambling around with no spring practice. They're like, well, I haven't even seen these kids on the field. And I think you're going to find experienced teams with experienced head coaches do quite well this year. Meanwhile, first-year head coaches with inexperienced teams won't do well. And this is the litmus test here. Houston's got 19 returning starters coming back. Baylor, they've got two returning starters on defense, and the bulk of their defense was those three starters that they had on the defensive line. They're all gone. I think you're going to see Houston put some points on the board here. I like Houston to pull the upset. Experienced team, experienced head coach versus an inexperienced team with a first-year head coach.
One other Big 12 team playing Saturday, Phil. Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State. Did they just roll it up on Tulsa, which is considered a B-lister in the American this year, right?
Yeah, I like points in this one because Tulsa could be dangerous. You go back and look at the American Conference games that Tulsa played last year. Remember they beat UCF last year? They had two games where they missed a field goal at the end, or they could have beaten Memphis last year, and Memphis was in the American Conference title game, and they had another game where they missed a field goal at the end and then ended up losing in overtime. So they could easily have been a much better team last year. They've got the bulk of their offense back, including Zach Smith, who is a Baylor transfer. They've got Brooks back at running back. Oklahoma State, though, is going to put some points on the board. You look at their last 12 games in their last 12 non-conference games the last 3 years in the regular season, they averaged 51 points per game, and they've got everybody back. Chuba Hubbard, Spencer Sanders at quarterback, and, of course, Tylan Wallace at the wide receiver spot. So I'm looking for a lot of points in that game. Over 66, I think, is your best play.
Phil, lastly, I can't say I exhausted myself looking for it, but I could not find a number on Clemson and the Citadel. If there isn't one, where would you peg it? The Tigers obviously could name their score if they wanted to.
Yeah, there is a number on the game. Clemson right now is a 44.5 point favorite, which sounds reasonable to me. When you look at the matchup, Citadel was better than the final score would indicate against South Florida last week. They had three drives in the red zone, resulting in two short field goals and a stopped on downs. USF had one drive in the red zone and never got a touchdown. They were leading 7-6. Then they got this fluky play where the punter punted the ball and they caught it in the end zone for a punt return touchdown, I guess you call it. And later in the game, they added a touchdown to win by 20. But when you look at Citadel, they can eat up the clock with their option running game, and all those Clemson high-priced defensive linemen, they're probably going to be a little more worried about cut blocks in this game than they are the final score. So I think Citadel might be able to hang around that number of 44.5, but Clemson wins this one easy.
All right, Phil, we make it through this week, and then full Big 12 and SEC schedules next Saturday. That'll feel like the season's going for real. In the meantime, and after that as well, run through the best way to track you day by day.
Well, I appreciate that. And ironically, I have a newsletter called Inside the Press Box. So if the Inside the Press Box newsletter off to a great start this year, 6-2 on the plays. And if you go to philsteele.com, you can get more information about how to sign up for InsideThePressBox.com. My weekly newsletter gives you a projected score on every game, gives you my computer's forecast on every game, and a complete breakdown of every single game, even the FBS versus the FCS games. Go to philsteele.com to learn more about Inside the Press Box. And then, of course, the magazine is out there and available. And, you know, if you're waiting, you want to get the magazine, the schedules have changed. I've got the new schedules printed off at philsteele.com. You could print them off, paste them in there. And it's only available at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million this year. So a very limited distribution, only Barnes & Noble and Books A Million for the magazine.
Phil, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to next week and a real schedule to dig in on.
Yeah, 35 games next week, Charlie. Really looking forward to it. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
And Phil is counting.
Inside the box.
Press box.
Who doesn't want to be inside the box?
Inside the press box. Didn't ask him. I think he'll be okay tonight. I mean, he's Cleveland-based.
Okay.
When LeBron was there, he couldn't have named another Cavalier.
Really?
Right now, I'm not sure if we said name a Cleveland Indian that he could name one. I mean, he is
hyper-focused in one direction.
It is pure football and almost all of that college football.
Man.
So these last 4 months, man.
He needs to get inside the box. All right, so before we go to the break, listen to everything that Phil Steele just said. Try and turn it into some cash. Well, the only way to do that is to get in touch with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. You take what Phil has told you. You get that inside knowledge. Maybe Jerry Bowe gave you some tips that you want to play. Well, if you want to make sure that your money is safe, it's protected, you double your first deposit, and when you win, they pay, there's only one place to go. It is mybookie.ag, because when you win, they pay. That's just as simple as it gets, and you can bet on everything. The college football Phil was talking about, UFC, baseball, getting ready for the playoffs, NBA playoffs with the conference finals, golf with a major this weekend, soccer, and so much more. You do it all by setting up an account at mybookie.ag. Go to mybookie.ag, and when you sign up, they're going to double your first deposit. You put 100 in, so do they. You got 200 in your account, and you've got plenty to play. And not only will they match you dollar for dollar, they're also going to throw you in a free futures bet or side bet from here and there just by entering the promo code radio. When you sign up, put in the promo code radio, R-A-D-I-O, and expect that they'll probably flip you a few extra plays along the way. It's just the way they do business, but they have all the bets and all the games to choose from. And the most important thing is, if you win, it's not going to be hemming and hawing and trying to get you to reinvest your money. It's going to be, you bet, you win, they pay. It's that simple. So sign up today. It's mybookie.ag, and don't forget to put that promo code in, radio.
ESPN 98.5.